Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our guys are going to be fine. It's not always the runners. It's everybody. And it's the quarterback carrying out his fake. It's the receivers blocking down the field. It's the tight ends doing their job. And the same thing with the offensive line. I think there's a lot of times on that tape we're not giving our runners a chance. So, yeah, I think we're fine there.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
All right, that was Ben Johnson earlier today as the Bears get back to work coming off of a bye week. A week five bye week certainly seems early, but you also could make the case that it may come at a perfect time for the Bears, who were without five starters against the Raiders. Like, they stole one with the way that they beat the Las Vegas Raiders. Anytime you win a game when you're missing five starters and including Jalen Johnson on the IR, that was an impressive win with how thin they were with no Darnell Wright, Grady Jarrett, Colson Loveland, Kyler Gordon, TJ Edwards. We'll get a better idea about how many of those guys could be back in just a minute. Judson Richards back here with you until 9 o'clock this evening on 6-7 The Score. You heard it there just a moment in a promo. We'll remind you, though, Cubs-Brewers Game 3 of the NLDS, 3:30. Our pregame show begins tomorrow, 4:08, first pitch, right here on The Score with Pat, Ron, and Zach, your only local broadcast in Chicago. As the Bears get set to face off against the Commanders, we're already seeing this team improve. Just a couple things that I've found from this team, right? Like, so much of last year when they did score any points, by the way, the Bears scored, I believe, the fewest points per game from week 8 on last year. But if they ever did it, it was in the fourth quarter. It was out of scheme. It was out of system. And Caleb Williams was just trying to survive and move the ball down the field. Like, anything they could do to move the sticks and try to stay alive. They averaged 1.6 per point first quarter last year. 1.6 points a first quarter. That was the worst in football. Did you know that the Bears are the best in football when it comes to first quarter points? 7.8 points a game. They've already improved there, which I found to be pretty impressive. Their turnover margin, they are plus 1.3. That is third best in the NFL in turnover margin. They can't get to the quarterback. They make up for it by taking the ball away and then taking care of it. And a couple other stats that surprised me. When it comes to running the football, they're actually 14th in rushing play percentage. So they run the ball 43% of the time. Even though they're like terrible at it, they're still trying to establish the run. They're 24th in rushing. I couldn't believe they're averaging 102 points a game on the ground. But when you look at them not playing from behind as much as they were last year, simply by scoring more points in the first quarter, they're best in football at 7.8 first quarter points a game. So there is an improvement. Hopefully they have gotten healthy and they can get back to work. Joining us now, Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times with us on 6-7 The Score. Patrick, great to talk as usual. All right, what's been most impressive and most unimpressive about the Bears four games into the season?
I think Caleb Williams has been as good as you could, you know, hope at this point. His ability to make up when the Bears have all these penalties at the line of scrimmage and before the snap, and his ability to rally the team when they need him the most is a really good sign. If you are looking for clues that he is your franchise quarterback, The thing that scares me is the run defense. I was doing some homework during the bye week, and right now they're the second worst run defense in terms of yards per carry in the history of the sport. And that's going back to 1920 when they founded the thing. So obviously, you know, small sample size and all that, it's not going to stay that bad. But they need it to be better than just not bad. They need it to be at least halfway decent. You know, they've had these takeaways that have covered a lot of errors. And, you know, I don't think they can rely on that going forward in the final 13 games of the year.
Yikes, Patrick. I was going to say that the good news is you don't have to do much to get better if you're that historically bad. So what can they do to get better, and how much could it help to get TJ Edwards back?
Yeah, that's a start. I think Kyler Gordon is quietly one of the most valuable players they have. You know, when I talk to people about the Bears, you know, I always kind of joke that, you know, Kyler Gordon is kind of your smart fan's favorite player. And I think he is going to help them both in the slot, but against the run too. Remember, this is the first guy that Dennis Allen mentioned when he got the job. And he envisioned him as a chess piece that could help them a lot. Now, getting Grady Jarrett back, whenever he does come back from the knee issue, that's important. They're paying him a lot of money to clog up the middle there. And then, you know, some of it too is just being in the right position at the right time. I trust that their defense has enough veterans to do that. But, you know, the flip side of that is that where is there going to be growth here? You know, they don't play a lot of guys who are ascending necessarily. So you need to hope that the guys who have done it before start being able to do it again. And Jaden Daniels, my God, they've given up the rushing yards they've given up without having to face a running quarterback yet this season. And now they get to face Jaden Daniels, who's probably the second best in the world at that.
Yeah, Patrick, it felt like they stole one against the Raiders with the way that the game ended. But maybe even more so when it comes to stealing one is missing five starters like they were, right? You mentioned Grady Jarrett, Kyler Gordon wasn't out there, TJ Edwards wasn't out there, Colston Loveland wasn't out there, Darnell Wright wasn't out there, right? The five starters off the top of my head, if I got that right. How many of those guys do we expect to see back against the Commanders?
Well, and Jalen Johnson, too, is right. Really the most important of all of these guys, and he's going to be out for a long time, if not the whole season. TJ Edwards says he's going to play. Kyler Gordon says he's going to play. Colston Loveland says he feels a lot better. Those are all very good things. You know, what popped on my radar today during the portion of practice that we were allowed to watch was Cairo Santos was not out there. This is a guy who felt the pain in his quad warming up in the third quarter of the Raider game to the point to where they didn't let him do kickoffs in the fourth quarter. That went to Torrey Taylor. So we'll see whether he is going to be out. Something that's really interesting about this year's Bears is they have two place kickers, which nobody has. So Jake Moody is here and ready to go if they need him. And one good sign is, you know, because he's been here a couple weeks, he knows the holder, he knows the snapper, he knows directions to Hallis Hall. He doesn't need to necessarily break in with his teammates the way most kickers would if the starter is hurt.
He does a tremendous job covering the Bears. He is Patrick Finley of Chicago Sun-Times. Judson Richards along with you this evening on 6-7 The Score. Patrick, we didn't mention Darnell Wright. Is Darnell expect to be back as well?
He was not at practice today, but he was doing some conditioning off to the side. So we shall see. The Bears don't have to issue an injury report until Thursday because they're playing on Monday Night Football. And even then, it's going to be a hypothetical injury report because they are not practicing that day. So it may be until Friday when we get some sort of clarity there. Remember, it was an elbow for him. So him doing conditioning work doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot one way or the other. I don't believe this is a long-term injury, and he has missed one game so far. So we'll see what it shapes up to be come Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
The great Mark Grody was asking Ben Johnson today, tell us who your left tackle is. How about that smile that Ben Johnson hit him back with and did not give it up? But it all certainly feels like there's going to be a position change at left tackle.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Theo Benedict, and you know, we'll see whether they get cute beyond that. I would really be interested if Darnell Wright had a couple of weeks to work on it.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what he'd be like as a left tackle, and then you can play Ozzie Trapillo on the right side. The Bears thought about that in the offseason, decided against doing it, and I think it's something that would be really difficult to pull off. in the middle of the season. Seo was fine. Playing Max Crosby is a hard way to break into the NFL as a tackle at either side. But I thought he did okay. I don't believe that Braxton Jones is going to start on Monday. That doesn't mean that Braxton is, out of sight, out of mind for the rest of the season. I actually think that that sort of veteran experience will serve them well. And I do think that if history is any indication, they're probably going to need to cycle through a couple of guys on the offensive line, going forward because of injuries, because of attrition, all that sort of good stuff. So even if he's not starting on Monday, I think he will be needed before the end of the year.
Patrick, what do you make of the usage of DJ Moore so far?
It was clear in training camp that Rome Odunze was getting the wide receiver one treatment and that DJ was more of the Swiss Army knife option. And I think that is a good fit for both. Certainly Rome Odunze's production can't be questioned. I mean, he's exactly what you would have wanted him to be. He has 5 touchdown catches through 4 games. That's, the Bears only discovered the forward pass sometime in the late 90s, but that's a pretty amazing. He's on pace for some record-breaking stuff for them. I think the name of the game with DJ is to get him open in space, and I think that Ben needs to do a better job of that. There is nothing wrong with using him all over the field and even using him at running back if it produces the matchups that you want to produce. But it hasn't looked like that really through a month. It'll be interesting to see when they're in D.C. 2 years ago on Thursday Night Football, DJ Moore had the best game of his career, 200-plus yards, and then he caught a pass at the end to win the game on third down and to get the Bears off the schneid in terms of a losing streak that they had. So he really likes playing in D.C., and we'll see if that can unlock anything.
He is the most expensive player on offense for the Bears. He's got the third most targets 4 games in. That's a very expensive player to not be an integral part so far of the offense. If things continue this way, could he potentially be someone that the Bears would consider moving? Because they do need more players that they draft and can develop.
I think in theory, that's a reasonable thought. I think that in practice, you then have to go find somebody who's willing to inherit that contract for somebody who was the third option on his own team.
Yeah.
And I think the Bears are, I think the clearer path towards success here is developing him and using him. Now, nobody's going to argue with Rome leading them in targets and in production. This is what you want. This is what you signed up for when you drafted Rome, where you drafted Rome. But when you paid DJ, you paid him to be more impactful than he has been. It hasn't been all his fault, he does need to make a bigger impact than he's had.
It feels like to me that Rome is the Bears' number one, yet DJ Moore is the best wide receiver on the Bears.
This is not a shot at DJ at all. I think Rome Odunze might be the best wide receiver on the Bears. I just think he's special, and you talk to people around the league who know a lot more than I do, and they say things about his ability to kind of be the big, tall, jump ball receiver and the fleet of foot guy and the precise route runner kind of all in one package. And that's not something that you see in a lot of places around the league.
That seems like a good one to open up to the text line, 312-644-6767. You can text us. Let me and Patrick know who is – I get it who their number one is, but who is the most talented wide receiver on the Bears at this exact moment? 312-644-6767. Judson Richards along with you. He is Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times. Patrick, just one or two more for you. Is this a statement game against the Commanders on Monday night, or is that not the way that the Bears should be framing it? Because ultimately you could have a fall off the following week if that's the way you try to build up or find something special about each and every week.
I think Ben Johnson never lets a good motivational opportunity go to waste, so I'm sure he will use it on some level. And I also think it doesn't much matter whether the Bears themselves want to talk about it. Tyreek Stevenson, at least as of today, did not. But the rest of the world's going to. Every Monday Night Football commercial between now and Monday is going to show that play. And with good reason. It's the most bizarre thing a lot of us have ever covered in our lives. So, I think Ben will use it to some, to see if he can gain some sort of edge. This is a guy who, not 20 minutes after they beat the Cowboys, started talking about how they were an underdog on the road the next week against the Raiders. So he's looking for that, and I think he may lean into that a little bit. Of course, the mistake would be to put too much into it because the Bears have got some winnable games ahead of them.
That's what I was saying, and, right. They got right, the Saints. And, like, what are you using for that one?
Well, and remember last year, not to repeat last year, but they lose on the Hail Mary in Washington. Then they go to Arizona, which wasn't a very good team. They lose there. They come home to a Patriots team that we thought was the worst in football, and they lose there. So we have all lived through what it's like to come out flat when you blow a game late, and they can't afford to do that again. It would be one thing to lose in D.C. when they're an underdog and when, honestly, probably few people in the league expect them to win the game. It would be another to let that follow them home against some games that are lining up pretty good for them. And again, you know, we do this record prediction stuff at the beginning of the year and in the offseason, and who would have figured then that the Bengals would be without their quarterback, that the Ravens right. might be without their quarterback. All of a sudden, these things that were guaranteed L's might be a little less than that, and that should be exciting for Bears fans.
Yeah, and at the Vikings in there as well, who do not look like the juggernaut anywhere near it that they were last year. Let's end this with Tyrique Stevenson. You know, I coach my son's 5-year-old T-ball team, and I find myself, when the ball's in play, I'm telling everyone to turn around. And then there's Tyrique Stevenson in Washington. The ball's in play, and it's like, turn around, turn around. He has had a tremendous last two games. Like, that takeaway, that strip against the Cowboys, maybe one of the best defensive plays you will see from a Bears player all year. Is he a different player?
It was a great play, too, because of what it meant. It felt like the Cowboys were, you know, getting a running start against the Bears in a game that the Bears couldn't afford to lose.
Right.
And had they lost that game, boy, howdy, it would just feel a lot like last year.
Yeah, because the Bears had a terrible 3-and-out to start that game. So it was woof. And then all of a sudden, the Cowboys were running all over them.
Yeah, and the crowd was flat, and the crowd was looking for something to boo, and with good reason. And then he pulls it away, and you know what? it's been a tale of two seasons. And that second season started with that play. So I will commend him for that. He's a tremendous athlete, and I think in a one-on-one setting, I think he's a really, really good corner. He just needs to harness all of the things that he spent his whole career trying to harness. And, you know, he's had different coaches say the same thing about him, which is that, you know, he needs increased focus. He needs to just let his skills speak for themselves. And if he can do that, I think he can be a really good corner in this league. Now, Jalen Johnson being hurt makes everybody a little less good at what they do, including Tyrique Stevenson. And to expect him to go through the rest of the season matched up against all of these bold-faced names at wide receiver, I think he may end up losing more of those battles than he wins. But, you know, they kept him for a reason. A smarter team might have cut him or at least traded him in the offseason and said, look, you can't do this. But the Bears are trying to pull out all of that steel that they see in him and let it shine on Sundays. In the last 2 weeks, it has, to his credit. And now let's see what he does going back to the place where he became infamous.
Patrick, you've covered a lot of really bad Bears football. I feel like we're turning the corner for you to cover much more competent football. So let's hope that that is in your near and distant future, and we get to watch a much better product for years to come.
Yeah, just be normal. Let's start with being normal, and then we could go to good, because I started with Mark Trestman's first season, so I haven't seen a whole lot of normal, and that would be a very refreshing thing indeed.
Yeah, normal is fine. I also enjoy when a coach does his press conference and then they fire him hours later. So that, you know, there's that too.
We can make a list of 30 things, and maybe one day we will, but hopefully the Bears don't add to it anytime soon.
That was one of my favorite in recent memory. Patrick, you're the best. Thanks so much.
Hey, anytime.
Patrick Finley, Chicago Sun-Times with us on 6-7 The Score. That was an interesting debate we got into there, and you can weigh into it, weigh in on it as well. DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, I think it's clear who has become the number one overall favorite of Caleb Williams. He's become the number one target as well, but that doesn't necessarily mean that DJ Moore isn't right there with him. Does Ben Johnson need to do a better job to get DJ Moore involved? And if not, is it somewhat useless or too expensive to have DJ Moore on this roster? We'll get back to the Cubs as well, coming up on 670.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
Was it early by week help?
No. No. I tell you now that this week five by week is terrible.
Why?
Why? We didn't even really play no games, but I mean, now we got 13 plus straight, and that takes a toll. But we're going to find a way to just get through it.
So you want to have the bye week. You have to,
yes,
feel like you've earned it a little bit.
No, I'd rather the NFL just say the Bears' bye week is week 10 every year. That's all they need to say.
All right, there he is, DJ Moore, getting set to face off against the Washington Commanders on Monday Night Football. I think it probably has to do with an early bye week and then the Cubs playing in the wild card round and then the NLDS. It feels like we haven't watched Bears football in like 3 weeks. But they will be back at it. We will have to wait Saturday and Sunday and then get to Monday Night Football. But, man, this is going to be one with some rich storylines coming up as the Bears return to the scene of the crime where the Fail Mary happened last year. Judson Richards back here with you. About 30 minutes left to go here on this edition of Score Evening. A reminder, Cubs baseball, NLDS Game 3, Cubs need it. Cubs got to have it, otherwise the season is over. 3:30, a pregame will begin, and 4:08, first pitch right here with Pat Ron and Zach on 6-7 The Score. We also wanted to remind you of this before we get to Roma Dunze versus DJ Moore. Join Coach Dave Wanstead and Chris Tannehill live at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan for the Four Winds Football Forecast this Sunday. The event is free to the public, starts at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 4:30 Central. Wani will be giving an early season review and forecast the rest of the season. Plus, you can get an autograph and photo with Coach Wanstead before the Sunday night game. That's this Sunday at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan. So Patrick Finley and I were talking about Roma Dunze and DJ Moore, and I asked Patrick of what he thought about the usage of DJ Moore, because in my opinion, they're not using DJ Moore enough. And another way to put it would be they're not using DJ Moore enough with how expensive he is. And it's like, well, don't use a guy just because he costs a lot. I get it. But would he be better served not on the Bears and potentially a trade chip for a team that needs more players that they have that are ones that they've drafted because they're more cost-effective? Ben Baby, which is just a really cool name, Ben Baby covers the Bengals for ESPN. And he had this tweet a few days ago. He put together a list of homegrown drafted players on active rosters. Okay? Homegrown NFL players on active rosters. Do you know who has the most? The Baltimore Ravens, then the Kansas City Chiefs, then the Buffalo Bills. Those are pretty good organizations. Ravens in a tough way right now, but you get my point. The bottom two, so it looks like it's about 17 or 18 players looking at this graph. The bottom two are the Chicago Bears and the Tennessee Titans. Have the least homegrown drafted players on the active rosters. And I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, well, then that manager, that general manager, definitely doesn't have a contract extension. Well, you'd be wrong, because Ryan Poles just got a contract extension, albeit has the least homegrown drafted players on their active roster. Why do I bring that up? because it would behoove the Bears to potentially garner more draft picks to have more homegrown talent on their own roster. And if you're thinking, what's the point in having more draft picks if you can't get them right? I would say maybe you need more picks in order to get them right because you're missing too often. How do you garner more picks? You may have to trade some players. And if there was ever a position of redundancy for the Bears, you may call it depth. As of now, it feels a little bit like redundancy with the way that they went through the draft. But the Bears have a pretty, pretty deep, I wouldn't say wide receiver room, I would also say just pass catchers, right? You've got Roman Dunze, you've got Olamide Zaccheaus, you've got DJ Moore, then you've got Colston Loveland, you've got Luther Burden, you've got Cole Kmet, and then you've got the running back position that will also garner receptions. And so when I look at DJ Moore, the most expensive offensive player on the Bears, and I'm going, he's third in targets. He's behind Olamide Zaccheaus. Now, Roman Dunze has the most targets on the Bears with 35 targets, 20 receptions. Olamide Zaccheaus is there with 14 receptions, 22 targets. And then DJ Moore, he's got 16 receptions, 21 targets. So I'm looking at DJ Moore, and I don't think DJ would garner what you may think he would get, right? Like, you look at what we saw his value when they gave him the big contract, and you'd say, well, DJ Moore's got to be worth the first-round pick. It's not really how it works, because the team would also be taking on a very, very high salary for a player who's getting upwards in age, right? He's 28 years old, so he'll be 29 in his 2026 season, 30 in 2027 season. I think DJ Moore would probably get you a third-round pick. Trade deadline is November 4th, and this may be a better question for the offseason. So I would acknowledge that it's too early to have the conversation about trading DJ Moore. The point I'm trying to make is it feels like it's trending towards DJ Moore being too expensive for a team that isn't using him enough. Now, maybe the self-scout, maybe the bye week, maybe Ben Johnson will say, we've got to get the ball to DJ Moore more often. This is on me, and we'll get it to him more often. But I just don't see Caleb Williams and DJ Moore having a great connection. It's nowhere near the connection that he has with Roma Dunze. And that's coming from someone who is a big DJ Moore fan. Sometimes his body language to me is kind of, sometimes, you know, he doesn't look at times overly invested in blocking. Does he finish his routes when the ball isn't going towards him? But I love watching DJ Moore, the football player, when he's got the ball in his hands. Not only does he have great hands, he can be slippery and he can be really good with yards after catch. And as Patrick Finley and I got into the conversation, who's the best wide receiver on the Bears today? Is it Roma Dunze? Is it DJ Moore? Studs, I know you got an opinion on this one.
It's tough. I think I'd still say DJ Moore, but I would...
They are different players.
Yeah, they are.
I'll acknowledge that.
I think that if you're right now, if you're going to just rank them, I think you're still putting DJ Moore over Roma Dunze. But I will say it's closer now than I thought it would be at this point this season.
I would agree.
Like, it wouldn't shock me, and it wouldn't have shocked me before the season if you said at the end of the year, Roma Dunze has become the Bears' best receiver. That wouldn't shock me, and it still wouldn't shock me, but I think it's much closer than I anticipated it being. So I would still put DJ Moore over Rome, though. Like, if you're picking a player right now, I think you're still taking DJ Moore over Rome. But in a month, I don't know if I'll be saying that.
Yeah. And also, for Roma Dunze to be great right now, at least, you know, until he really becomes whoever he's going to become, it looks like Caleb Williams also has to be great. Like, within the system, those two need to match up. DJ Moore, to me, feels a little bit more like you could get him, not necessarily out of the running back position, although I know they've messed with that a little bit, but a screen pass or a slant. Like, DJ Moore, I think, has the ability to turn less into more than Roma Dunze does.
I mean, that guy had 1,000 yards with P.J. Walker as his...
Great point.
P.J. Walker, who then the next year was cut by the Bears and beat out by Tyson Bagent. And
there's another name you could use, you know, too.
Tyson Bagent, I think that it would be intriguing to... I would take phone calls on Bagent. Because, look, if you're the Bengals, I wonder if the Bengals called the Bears about Tyson Bagent before ending up going with Joe Flacco from the Browns. Because Tyson Bagent right now is absolutely a better quarterback than Jake Browning. I would trust him. I don't think Tyson Bagent's a starting quarterback in the NFL. Maybe he is if you're a team that doesn't have a good quarterback.
What are you giving up for Tyson?
You're probably getting, well, he's really cheap and he's young. Maybe a third round pick at most. At most, right? Fourth round more likely is your ceiling.
Would the Bears make that move though? Would the Bears make that move? They seem to really love Tyson.
They do, and I think that they...
You know who I really love is Caleb Williams.
Yeah, me too.
Because he has a much better arm than Tyson Bagent.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I think that they're really comfortable with Tyson as their second quarterback. Because even if Caleb Williams, you know, God forbid, gets hurt, I would trust Tyson Bagent to get them through a couple games.
Yeah, I think so, and I don't have Case Keenum that much more behind Tyson Bagent. Just to show you my confidence level in Tyson, it's not like drastically different between Case Keenum. But to DJ Moore, the name I was going to mention is Justin Fields as well. If you look at the yards that DJ was able to put up, and those weren't all the deep ball. These weren't all these beautiful passes by Justin Fields, who's struggling mightily with the New York Jets. I just think they need to figure out how to get the ball more to DJ Moore, and if they're not going to, then move on.
And I think there's also that year, that first year, especially with Justin and DJ. DJ Moore was the clear cut.
Well, yeah,
best
he was like
option.
The only guy.
You know,
right.
Darnell Mooney was their number two, I think.
Yep.
And, you know, he's good. I like Darnell Mooney still, but, you know, he's nothing special. I think he's on about the same level now as Olamide Zaccheaus, like that 2-3 fringe receiver.
Yeah, no, I would agree.
There was a clear... The point is that there's a clear
drop. And Zaccheaus has gotten more targets than DJ Moore at this point.
My point there is there was a clear drop between DJ Moore and Darnell Mooney. You know, there was a clear tier break, and there's less of a tier break now between DJ Moore and Roma Dunze.
Let's hear a little bit from Ben Johnson. We had a chance to do the cell scouting over the bye week. Ben Johnson met with the media today in preparation for that Commanders-Bears game coming up on Monday Night Football. Here he is on the offensive struggle, says it's still a work in progress.
Offensively, we're still a work in progress. Some things we're doing well, some things we're not. I think the inconsistent nature with which we're playing, we're shooting ourselves in the foot quite a bit. And when I look at where we were through the first 4 weeks, a lot of penalties. I want to say we were top five on offense there through 4 weeks. And so we're playing behind the sticks. And you can certainly feel that as I was calling it. I give the guys a lot of credit. I did feel like we were pretty good at getting back on track as much as we could. But it's just not sustainable when you're playing football that way. And so that's going to be an emphasis for us here going forward. We've got to get the pre-snap penalties under control, and they know that. The running game, you know, I've kind of alluded to it over the course of training camp. It's going to take a little bit of time for our guys to all mesh together, and I think that's what the tape looks like right now. We're just not firing on all cylinders yet, and sometimes it could be the ball carrier not hitting the right spot. Other times it's just our combinations aren't clean yet. And it's going to take everybody. It's quarterback, it's receivers, it's O-line, it's tight ends to go along with those runners. So, it's a very complex question, but there's the guys are playing hard. They're playing for each other. I think we're doing a good job of getting that kind of squared away. And I think good things will happen the more time we spend together.
You know, I don't like to play the shoulda, coulda, woulda game. It's just not realistic. Besides one bad quarter, the Bears have a decent chance of being 3-1. They're not. I get it. They're not. They completely melted down against the Minnesota Vikings in the opener. But I'm kind of impressed that they're 2-2. again, the Raiders game, they were out with the five starters, and that's not even including Jalen Johnson, who's on the IR. And if you go, well, they beat the Cowboys. Well, the Cowboys then tied the Green Bay Packers, who were supposed to be the greatest team ever assembled the first couple weeks of the season. And then they're smart enough to figure out how to block the field goal attempt against the Raiders. I had this team about 7, maybe 8 wins. I think they have a decent chance to surpass that if they keep getting better week in and week out. But I do feel a buy-in from this team, and you almost feel like they got lucky with the week 5 bye week with how hurt they are. So I think it's going to be pretty entertaining the rest of the season. I could be way off, but I think they're going to beat the Commanders on Monday Night Football. I just do. It'll tell us a lot about Ben Johnson. A lot of times, teams that are poorly coached are asleep at the wheel when coming out of the bye week. In fact, studs, I believe that Commanders game last year was coming out of the bye week. They were 4-2. They hit the bye. I may be crazy. Somebody fact check me on this one.
No, that was right. That was right. Yeah. They went to London, and then they had the bye week.
They had the bye week, right? So you talk about a good comparison. Teams that are poorly coached, not just talking about Matt Eberflus, but teams that are poorly coached, oftentimes are asleep at the wheel when they come out of the bye week because the coach didn't know how to get them back on track, and it shows. So do the Bears show up and play the style of football that Ben Johnson wants them to play? And that means sharp. Can they get less penalties? And that's a physical style of play. This will be really, really interesting. But I think, you know, it came at a good time if you could just get your starters back of this matchup. Monday Night Football, it's a long ways away. 6 days. It feels like forever. And I've got them trading DJ Moore. So that happened tonight as well. We will end with this. Do the Cubs get a victory tomorrow? We'll tell you what needs to happen for the Game 3 matchup between the Brewers and the Cubs that you'll hear right here on 6-7 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's what it felt like. It felt like that was kind of breaking it open for us and giving us a chance to put up a lot of runs. And, you know, I think they did a good job, guys coming in the game and throwing strikes, not giving us a ton of free bases. Their defense did a good job. I think, you know, we as an offense have to find a way to put up a few more and help our pitchers out a little bit more. You know, I think that's the one thing going into Wednesday. You know, we've won a few games here in the playoffs, but haven't scored a bunch of runs, so hanging a few crooked numbers would help a lot.
Score evenings, weeknights 6 till 9.
All right, Judson Richards back here with you. Just a few more minutes. That was Ian Happ after yesterday's loss, and he said it, you got to score a few more runs. It's one of the... Baseball is such a funny game. Remember the first half of the season where the Cubs were virtually the 27 Yankees? Remember how many double-digit runs they scored or really, really momentous comebacks that they had? Like, I mean, there were times they were down 7 runs, and it's like, well, they got a shot. They'll figure it out, and they actually did. And now we fast forward to the playoffs, and it's a reminder. This was from the Score today. I didn't do this math, but the Score Twitter account did. It says, it's been 2,917 days since the Cubs scored more than 3 runs in a postseason game. 13 straight postseason games for the Cubs scoring 3 runs or less. So how about... How about a win and you exercise some demons tomorrow and get more than three runs so we can get rid of that stat and watch some Thursday baseball? Hopefully you were watching last night. I don't know if you out there have little ones. It was a great moment for me last night, at least in the first inning. So my five-year-old son, he'll watch baseball, he'll watch football with me only if I let him stay up past bedtime. Otherwise, it's Spidey and His Amazing Friends, Creature Cases, all the things that kids really want to watch. But if it's after 8 o'clock and he says, "Dad, can I watch some baseball with you?" I say, "You bet you can." So he comes downstairs, watches it, and we're watching, and Seiya Suzuki hits that home run. And we go nuts. He goes nuts. And it's really the first time I can remember both of us watching a game together and celebrating that kind of a moment. And you just never know when it's going to happen. It was cute, too, because he was easily confused by all of the replays, because then he thought they hit another home run, which I know happens. It's like, oh, my God, they did it again. It's like, no, that's just a different angle. So to go from that moment to then Andrew Vaughn wiping away that three-run home run, that is sports in a nutshell. Giveth and taketh away. But that's why we watch. That's why we tune in. And if we only got one more Cub game tomorrow, then let's lock in. Let's lock in, let's enjoy it, and we'll root for there to be a game on Thursday. Our matchup again tomorrow, Jameson Taillon will go for the Cubs. You want to talk about an X factor? You've got one X factor, and that's Jameson Taillon. He's got to stop this Brewers lineup, and the Cubs need to put up more runs. And the Cubs may have to do it against local guy Quinn Priester out of Cary Grove High School from Glendale Heights. Quinn Priester, the Cubs tallied up a 6 ERA against Quinn this season, so maybe it'll be in their favor. And if I can make one lineup change, it's not going to happen. If there was one thing I could do tomorrow, I've completely changed how I felt about this heading into this series. I'm tired of looking at Kyle Tucker. I'm tired. I'm tired of watching a guy, to me, who is clearly injured and not just hurt. Hurt, you can still be effective. Injured, you're better off with somebody else in there. Give me Moises Ballesteros. And I would say, give me Owen Casey if he was on the NLDS roster. Studs, I think I came up with a great nickname for Owen Casey. It's so good that someone else had to have come up with it. You know he's got red hair, right? All right, what about the nickname for Owen Casey being Carrot Pop?
I like that.
Because he can hit, right? Have you heard that anywhere else?
No, I don't think I have.
All right, I like...
I think you can corner the market on that one.
Carrot Pop! I wish Carrot Pop was on this roster because I'd like to see him. It would be a great experience for Ballesteros or Carrot Pop. Casey isn't on the active roster. Give it to Ballesteros. I'm tired of watching that guy limp around. I'm tired of watching him roll over the ball. For 3 months, we've been watching it. Tired of it. He's going to go somewhere else anyways. Let someone else get that experience. Studs, thank you. Adam Studzinski, great job on the other side of glass. Thanks to our guests, Lance Brozdowski, Sparky Pfeiffer, and Patrick Finley. You missed it. Find it on the Odyssey app and the Rewind function. That'll do it for me, Judson Richards. Have a wonderful rest of the night, everybody.
Burn that damn thing and don't play it again, all right?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.